Let's go to Hebrews 8. Verse 7. And he's talking about what we now call the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, let's start in verse 5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. See, saith he, thou shalt make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them out of by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. But they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Now, again, this is what happened on the Feast of Pentecost. He wrote the law in their hearts, and he put I'll put my law into their mind and write them in their hearts, so that nothing about God stuff is now dependent on man except for repentance. Now, this is why John the Baptist, who has said, Among men born of women, there has never been one greater. And this is why his signature preachment was, bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Now, how do you bring forth fruit necessary for repentance? How are the laws which are written in our mind and in our heart, how are they made manifest? Only one way, repentance. Now, unfortunately, as I said yesterday, we start out the process by believing in Jesus. But we must get to the point where we live by the faith of Him, because the of Him is written in our hearts and in our minds. Now, until that position and that transference happens, where you move from faith in to faith of, you know nothing about the gift of faith that you have received. You will still continue on trying to get better, trying to get fixed, trying to make a living, trying to do this, trying to do that. And as long as you're trying, no matter what it is that you're trying to do, as long as you're trying, you are sowing to the flesh and of the flesh you will reap corruption. Does everybody see this? So the only hope, the only thing that we can do, which is the simplest of all things, is abandonment. It's not dependent on your intelligence. It's not dependent on your righteousness. It's not dependent on how nice you are. It's not dependent on anything except your willingness to accept your death.
You know,
are we going to do this again, Ronnie?
Yes, we are. You think it's just going to be one time? No, but the train thing, because it hit me, it struck me, because I know in the past that, you know, that I was trying to do stuff, you know, up until, you know, now, this very moment. You're right, trying to be good, you know, trying to get a job, you know, trying to improve, or trying to be in a place where I can listen and hear and stuff. It's like certain times I come in here, you know, with people making noises and stuff, it's like, it's very frustrating because, you know, because I'm trying to hear what you're saying, you know, I'm trying to do stuff. It's like, I don't know, it's like, you know, people should try and do stuff. I mean, and the stuff that I'm thinking about is, which, you know, is bad, and, you know, trying to do right, trying to do good.
It's not bad. It just doesn't work. It's necessary. You have to go through that. But if you believe that by trying harder or holding your mouth in a different position or doing something, then you haven't pushed the barriers. You haven't pushed everything to the end. You're still living in that if only and what ifs. There's got to come a place in you where you know that all Bible study, all trying, all attempts at doing it right, all attempts at being nice, whatever it is, come to the end. You've got to do the same thing with all of the stuff after the natural. You've got to find out that you could push your mind. You could have 10,000 times more intelligence than Einstein, and it still would end up in nothingness. You could have the strength of Samson. You could have the beauty and riches of Solomon. You could do all of these things, and it would end up in endless futility and emptiness. But until you know that, you'll forget everything that I say, and you'll go out and try to do better. And then you'll find out that the reward is no longer reckoned of grace, but it's reckoned of debt. And so you will be guilty about not doing something. And then, rather than admit that guilt, you have to judge. You have to condemn somebody. Until finally that too gets old. But this this shift of your point of view, this change of way you look at life, must be dramatic. As we talked about yesterday, it must be a bright, shining light that you see clearly that divides everything of the soul from that which is of the spirit, so that there is no more shadow, no more doubt, no more turning. And the moment you think something is wrong, you repent. You don't point your finger.
Everything you just said is the same thing that thing in 2 Thessalonians says.
Right. Till the man of sin be revealed.
It sounds a lot different, but it's exactly the same.
Till you find out that you are the man of sin, that you are the son of perdition, that you are the instead of Christ, you're just going to continue doing it.
The whole concept of repentance implies that you're going to discover your evil, either through sins or trespasses, and then once it's seen or revealed, you just accept the sacrifice.
But again, the cross doesn't come against that which you think is evil. You come against that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have thought it was evil. The cross comes against that which you think is good. And until you see that, you're going to walk around as a religious nitwit. But it's like, it's almost fruitless to continue on in the gifts of the Spirit until you understand this gift of faith. Everything else...
I can't believe you said that. Because that's exactly what I've been thinking about. These first three things are... I don't know how to say it. It's like, they're what's real. The other stuff is kind of, it's stuff that happens because of I'm saying it very well, but I don't really care about it. I don't have to learn about the others.
No, that's the outworking of Christ. But these three have to have come by experience, that you've experienced what it isn't. But that's why the scriptures come so strongly against your mind, your thoughts. Doesn't matter whether you have sane thoughts or insane thoughts. They're both the same. They're just silly.
That's why God hates the lukewarm, because you're never in an arena of repentance. You're always saved.
And again, repentance, it's not, oh God. It's just the recognition that I've gotten out of the swimming pool. I've left the place of my baptism. I've left the place of burial. And I've gotten out of the swimming pool. I've gotten out of the water. It's no big deal. It's not, again, again in English, the word penitence, I can't even say it. And penance and penitentiary, and, you know, all those things are right and proper, but repentance is far more neutral. It's just a recognition that you've allowed self to be resurrected. Christ fulfilled all righteousness in his baptism. If you could just dwell on that for a minute, it would destroy you. So I get an email yesterday from somebody that was listening. They asked me if I thought that if I considered the teaching as either the Zohar or the Kabbalah. I said, my God. First of all, both of those words, the Kabbalah or the Zohar, are both, they're not a book. They just described, like all of the Talmud was once considered Kabbalah. And the Zohar is a whole infinite number of collections of documents and writings and teachings that lasted for centuries. And now they've compiled it finally and put it into a volume. Are five volumes, but do I consider what I teach either the Zohar or the Kabbalah? My God, of course not. That would be presumptuous. The only thing I consider is, the only thing I teach is Christ in you, the only hope of glory, the mystery that has been hid from all generations. Examine yourself. Prove. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So you don't think I made this stuff up. Verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. In the faith. Notice the word "the" is. That means it is the singular gift of faith. It's positional. Are you in the faith or are you out of the faith? Or are you somewhere else?
It's like there's one way to be in and there's a million ways to be out.
Right. Examine yourself. It's the only time I know of that the scriptures tell you to examine yourself. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Test it. Whatever is necessary. Don't give rest to your eyelids or rest to your head until you found out the habitation of the Holy One of Israel. That's the zeal. That's either being hot or cold. It's not this. So examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you. If you don't know that, then all the stuff that I'm talking about is meaningless. You cannot repent because your best repentance can be, the best that repentance can be, if you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you, the best that your repentance can be is, I'm sorry, I'm going to try harder next time. Because you're dependent on your own understanding of your own strength. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know not your own selves. How many times has that been repeated there? Three times. No. Know yourself. Know. How do you get there? How do you know? How do you know that Jesus Christ is in you? Anybody have any question? Any idea?
You get out of the way and you won't see Him expressed and manifested.
You find out that everything else is done. Until you find that out, you can't know it. Now, all of you have found that out at some point in your life, but you opted for hypocrisy rather than life. Every teenager in America, at some point, in the world, every teenager came and saw that their value systems that they were living in were just total BS. And then what do? Then you sell out. Or you get threatened. For me, I was threatened with prison or the service. So I chose the service. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. If you're reprobate, it's a technical term. It means one who is incapable of repentance. One who is incapable of leaving themselves behind because they don't know that Jesus Christ is in them. And so all I can do is, oh, I'm sorry, I'll try harder next time. I promise I'll be a good little boy. I'll be a good little girl. I won't hit my sister. Whatever your programming was when you were a kid.
It's so simple.
Let's go to 1 Peter.
First Peter, first chapter.
You know, that's pretty scary, though. Think about that. You know, you're incapable of everything. But if you're not anybody else,
good. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. By his mercy we have been born again. We have experienced something which totally obliterated the old and manifested a new creation that didn't, from our own experience, exist before. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything other than himself. You have been born again unto an alive hope. That's why any use of the word hope outside of the resurrection is just child's play. It's silly. We have been born again unto he has begotten us again unto an alive hope. Now most of the problem is most of you, yeah, I get this gets boring. I'll just go think about something else. He's begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Now, again, that's the tie-in. You can't be born again if you think Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead 2,000 years ago and stayed there wherever he was resurrected to. You're born again when you know the place of his resurrection. He's resurrected in you. In all men. But most men love the darkness more than that light. He is the light that lighteth every single man that has come into the world. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is incorruptible. Incredible statement. And undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Well, that means it's reserved when I go to the great by and by someday. No. It's reserved in heaven where you, the real you, is sitting on the mercy seat. In the New Jerusalem, today, now. Who are kept. The word kept means garrisoned. Who are garrisoned by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time for you. The last time. Because we already found out yesterday the last day was the day that Jesus Christ was crucified. But you have to know it is the last day. The angel, that is, the seventh angel, is crying and has been crying, saying, time shall be no more, but you're living as though time is continuing. Can you understand why I've so belittled your ideas over the years? Can you understand why I have made fun of your hopes and your dreams and your ambitions? They're just goofy. They're little kids playing in fantasy land. Your life is one of these video games. Someday. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. There are many, many tests that are going on, and it causes you to be in depression, weary. The word heaviness there means a whole bunch of stuff. It's anything that keeps you in a place other than light as a feather. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing, the revelation of, the manifestation of Jesus Christ in you. Faith is as common as sand. The trial of the faith is what's precious. Does everybody understand that? That's why we glory in tribulations. That's why the hallmark of saints are suffering and temptation, not big buildings and wealth. Remember, whatsoever things that you desire, if they are desired by every man, by all men, then they're an abomination unto God. Abomination, that's a terrible word. Gift of faith. First the word of wisdom, then the word of knowledge, then faith. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge are there so that you can see that faith has totally turned you upside down. It caused you to see totally different world. It causes you to be able to confess the Lord Jesus, to say the same things as He, because you see the same things as He. Remember, what you hear, we're constructed in this weird, weird way. So what we hear is what we see. What we see is what we do. Why the Old Testament way of describing obedience is observe to do. See, 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 see. But you can't see unless you hear. You can't hear unless your ear has been circumcised. Your ear cannot be circumcised unless you failed and you have admitted your failure. But you keep trying to sew up the circumcision. Just like you tried to keep putting untempered mortar on the hole in your walls. Just for 24 hours, look from the top down And anything that causes you to look at anything, repent of it. We have been born again unto an alive hope by His resurrection from the dead in you. If you don't know this, then examine yourself. Prove that you're in the faith so that you know your own self. You've experienced your own self that Jesus Christ is in you. And that really is the meaning of the gift of faith. You've left faith in to live by faith of. You were redeemed by His death, but now you are saved by His life. No more you. No more slight concern about a gain or an advantage to you. Think on these things.
I was thinking about jumping out of an airplane is like this idea of repentance. It's like the first time you jump out of an airplane. Because you're separating yourself from this known quantity that has actually a good track record of getting you, you know, from place to place. But then, you know, they're saying,
jump.
It's okay because you got this little neat backpack that's got a lot of cloth and string in it. Go! You know?
You say, yeah. You go. Yeah.
Has anybody here ever jumped from an airplane?
I know people who have.
Oh, I have. And the first time is, as he said,
it's like, hey, you could die doing
it. I haven't made as many jumps as Tom has, but I've made a few. And then after that, it becomes glorious, becomes great fun. But that first time is just...
Yeah, you're hardwired to not do that.
You become incontinent. Some people do.
I'm just thinking about it.
We did. My major professor did a study on gerbils. He put them on a newborn or young gerbils, and it was a plexiglass table with grid work on it and stuff. And he mapped the behavior of how they wouldn't step onto the plexiglass where there was nothing under them, but then the more adventurous ones would, and I don't remember what his conclusions were, but it was fascinating to see the difference in behavior within that species. Some just run right out there.
It's the same thing as this analogy we've used a million times before over the years, and that is you put a 6-inch plank on the floor and ask you to walk across it. It's easy. Everybody can do it. You raise it up to table level and it starts to get a little wobbly. You put it up between, you know, several hundred feet in the air and walk across a 6-foot plank and you're... But it's all because of what you think. It's the same plank. We are those that don't look at, we see through. And wherever you look, you see through to see His perfection instead of looking at and seeing your idolatry or lack of, or something that doesn't meet your idolatry. All right, anybody else? Examine yourself. Prove your own self. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. All right, take a big guy.